Hi everyone, I'm Greg from Pilot Institute. We train drone pilots all over the country.
Hi, my name is Haya from Drone Excel, where we cover all the drone news on our website.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Pixel Drone Show, our weekly podcast where we talk to industry professionals about what they do in the UAS space.
From professionals who use drone to fly inspection missions to public safety users or even drone light shows, you will learn on the Pixel Drone Show that drones are much more than just toys.
Let's talk about the state of the industry now, because I think there's a lot of discussions that we can have. Obviously, we can get started, I think, with the layoffs. And that's kind of a sad thing, but I'm going to say this. It's going to sound weird. This is what's happening nationwide. This is not a drone thing. This is a tech thing. Everybody's laying off. Everybody's laying off for several months now. You know, kind of started with Twitter, and then you've got all the big tech that are laying off, including Facebook, Google, Microsoft. Everyone is going through this. So even in the transportation industry, you know, Uber and everybody else. So this is not something different. You know, for those of you that are listening that are thinking, well, this is the end of the drone industry, I don't think this is it. I think this is just an economic downturn. We've all seen the numbers, and we see that there's a recession around the corner, if not already in place. And companies are just thinking about their bottom line and what's going to happen in the next couple of years.
Inflation spiked, a couple of months ago when that started, and the Fed raised interest rates, and that puts the brakes on economic development, basically. So yeah, I think you're right that we've seen the layoffs at a lot of those large tech companies, and we've seen the same thing now in the drone industry.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, Amazon was the biggest, the most prominent, I think, because it's Amazon. And, you know, they've been very vocal about their drone delivery program. And of course, when they lay off people, then it gets a lot of publicity. So, but that was 80% of their workforce that was laid off, on the drone side. That is not on the entire company. But, what do you think? Do you think this is the end of it? Do you think this is a pause, and then when the economy does better, we'll be back? They'll be back at it. What are your thoughts?
I think so. I think we'll be back for sure. However, remember when we had that Pixel show with, I forgot his name, but the guy from Wingcopter, who said that there's a difference when you do drone deliveries between business to consumer or business to business. And we've seen the companies that do business to business, like Zipline and Wingcopter, they do extremely well because there's a sense of urgency. They're high value products. Organs sometimes even that need to be delivered from one hospital to the next. So I think when there's a high value item and there's an urgency involved, I think in those cases, drone delivery makes a lot of sense. However, if you then look at companies like Amazon and Walmart, where they're shipping toothpaste or what have you to consumers in an area, I don't know if the economic value added is really there in those cases. I mean, maybe at some point there is, but what you run into, we've seen that with Google as well, is people start complaining. I mean, drones make noise and they're not quiet. And if you see, I mean, if I just look at the area where I live, the number of Amazon trucks that you see driving around, and then on top of that, you still have FedEx trucks, of course, and UPS trucks and the Postal Service. If half of what those guys are delivering would now be coming to people's homes by drones, the skies will be busy. And I'm not sure if people are going to appreciate that. So I think there's a lot of good stuff when it comes to drone delivery. I'm just not sure if it works for consumer products.
Well, we've talked about this at length, you know, on the show last year. Bill was the person you're talking about from Wingcopter. He's now at Sprite, actually. That was actually one of my favorite interview that we did because of the discussion. That was just an entertaining discussion. And I've talked to Bill ever since we met at one of the trade shows last year. I think it was at Airworks. No, not Airworks. It was at UAV, commercial UAV.
Commercial UAV,
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about all these trucks that are on the road. The thing is, the drones are not going to get rid of the trucks because the drones can't carry a certain weight. They can go. They can only go so far carrying so much weight. The trucks are still going to be on the road. Granted, there might be fewer, but you got to wonder if it makes more sense to have a truck full of packages or one drone delivering one package at a time in the airspace. So, and you know, we saw, I think you saw that as well. There were complaints here in Glendale with the drone up delivery from Walmart, where they're dealing with people in neighborhoods that want to have their peace and quiet because Arizona is very much like Florida. It's a retirement state, right? And people come here to play golf and be in the heat and enjoy their backyard. I don't blame them. I've mentioned this before. I'm not a big fan of having drones flying over my house because my house is in a quiet neighborhood and I want to keep it that way. So so I think there's going to be a social aspect that drone delivery companies are going to have to mess with. Now, you know, as far as Amazon, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, what I was going to say is that with the current regulations, you cannot really fly beyond visual line of sight, right? So that means that if you're going to do toothpaste delivery by drone, you're flying from a Walmart location within, let's say, a mile, maybe mile and a half radius from that location to consumers. So that model works only if you are in densely populated areas, and densely populated areas come with their own suite of challenges and problems. So,
they're able to go BV loss now with those because they're getting the waivers from the FAA. But even then, your drone is going to be limited to. This is a large drone that's going to be limited to a certain radius. I hope we're wrong because at one point in 10 years we're going to look back at this and at this talk and we're going to be like, well, we were fools and we were wrong the whole way.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the Amazon drone, I think, weighs 87 pounds. So that's not a small aircraft. If that thing comes out of the sky, that's a big issue. And again, if you need to have densely populated areas where you fly those drones, you're going to be looking at city environments. Whereas if you compare it to, let's say, what Wingcopter is doing, where you fly from a lab to a hospital or between two hospitals, those are like fixed routes. So you can identify and plan the safest route for that drone to fly. If you look at Zipline, they're flying in super remote rural locations where the environment is such that if you have to deliver something by truck or by car, it might take 6, 7, 8 hours to get through muddy roads and up and down mountains and stuff. Yep. In those circumstances, a drone makes a lot of sense. But if you're in a densely populated area, I'm not sure. So we'll see 10 years from now if we're wrong. I mean, Jeff Bezos, and you would argue he's a smart guy. He turned out to be quite wrong. So we'll see what happens.
So that's what I was going to go back to is, you know, is it the end of the Amazon project? Did Jeff Bezos realize that this is not the investment that he thought it was going to be? And he's going to quietly just put a dagger into it and end it? I don't know. I think time will tell. We'll see in 2 years if they decide to repopulate those 80% of people that they've lost. But I can't see the program going forward right now with 80%. I think I saw the quote on your website where they said that I don't think deliveries are going to happen anytime soon, regardless of what the company is going to tell you. Yeah. So this will be interesting. Well,
They've had their, I mean, apart from the people that they laid off, they had all kinds of issues with those drones, right? I mean, they had drones that crashed. They have, they've had development issues when it came to actually developing those aircraft. I mean, with Amazon, even with all their money, you don't just build drones that then fly as easily as a Mavic flies, right? I mean, it took DJI quite some time to get drones to be this user-friendly and this safe as well. So for Amazon, we've seen the same thing with GoPro. They had deep pockets and they wanted to enter the drone industry. And for them, the same thing. It wasn't that easy.
Yeah. So the question is, let's segment into the next company. There were four companies that were in the headlines in the last couple of weeks. The other one was Drone Up. Now, what's interesting with Drone Up is that they've got a contract with Walmart, which I don't know the numbers, but I would guess is a lot of their revenue, probably, you know, the kind of contract that they really want to keep on board. They laid off people as well, but I don't know that the layoff had any effect on the drone delivery side of things. I think they probably laid off people in areas that were not related to drone delivery so they can concentrate on that contract with Drone Up, with Walmart. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I haven't seen specific or detailed information as to the kind of people that were laid off. I It's interesting. I mean, with DroneUp, at least they're not developing their own drone, so they don't have the same challenge like Walmart, Amazon is facing. But the business model is the same, right? I mean, whether Amazon flies their drones or whether it's Walmart teaming up with DroneUp to fly then drones with toothpaste or whatever. I don't know if there's a future there, to be honest. I mean, it will be interesting to see. I'm sure there's going to be companies that are going to pursue this and then see if they can make it work. I think the jury is still out on that.
Well, here's what I'm somewhat worried about, in a sense. This economy is, the last few years, we've had a boom in investment money. You look at VCs that were sitting on a lot of cash, that decided to invest in a lot of different companies, and also large companies like Amazon and Walmart, putting cash into these projects that are probably not making money right now. They're not revenue generating. They're concepts. They're R&D, right? They're research and development.
Yeah.
The first thing that's going to go away when a company is starting to tighten the belt, like a lot of tech companies are doing right now, is that they're going to get rid of the stuff that's not necessary. And to me, I want to see what Walmart is going to decide to do at this stage with a big investment into a company like DroneUp that's not necessary. I don't know. And I'm making this up again. This is conjecture, but that possibly is not making a whole lot of money for them. At one point, does Walmart say, hey, you know what? We don't have the cash. This is not the time right now to do this. And then they pull the plug on that, which would be traumatic because I think DroneUp hires a lot of people, especially a lot of pilots at this stage. So I think it will be interesting to see by the end of the year, we can have that conversation again and see what happened. But I'm afraid that we're going to see a lot of changes this year based on the current state of the economy.
I mean, you have three big companies, right? Walmart, Amazon, and Google, and they're all trying to do consumer drone delivery, basically, and they're all facing issues. I mean, whether it's technical issues, whether it's drones that fall out of the sky, like Amazon has had, or drones from Google that are just simply generating too much noise for people to appreciate that service. You only need one horror story where something goes wrong and some consumer gets injured by a drone for all this to basically come to a halt, I think. And I think that's another risk that's involved there as well. So apart from the economic challenges that they're facing.
Yeah, so there's two things, right? From what you just mentioned, there is the public acceptance of drone delivery. If there's an accident, it's going to be like the self-driving cars that killed one person and all of a sudden all over the news, right? And that's the last thing that we need. And we know that aviation loves to be in the news when something happens. Reporters love this kind of stuff. And then the second thing is the regulatory perspective, which we haven't even talked about yet. The FAA is, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, which I don't think they are, but they're slowing down the whole process because they don't have the regulation that follows the tech that's being developed. So again, at one point, what does an investor say? And when they look at this and, you invest all this money into this tech, and then the company that's developing the tech comes back and says, hey, I'm sorry, we don't have any results, but it's really because the regulation is just not there and we can't make the regulation change fast. What's the investor going to say in this climate? They're just going to say, I'm sorry, but this is not something that we want to invest in.
Yeah, and especially when you look at it like an investor would from a risk reward perspective. I mean, if you look at all the stuff you can do with drones, there are other areas where drones make a lot more sense, where the risk is a lot lower and the benefits are probably a lot higher. So think about inspections that you do with drones, either for transmission towers, electricity lines, to create mobile networks after disasters, to do roof inspections after hurricanes for insurance companies, to help find missing people, save people's lives, to fly organs, blood samples, medication. Like you have all those other areas where you can invest in the drone industry and create progress, basically, where the benefits are a lot higher, the risk profile is a lot lower when you compare it to flying drones that weigh 87 pounds just to bring toothpaste to somebody's home. So if I was an investor, I know where I would put my money.
I agree. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on probably on DroneUp this year to provide results, you know, to Walmart and make sure that Walmart decides that this is worth their investment. So it will be interesting. I think this is a tough time for those big companies that have invested so much. I think the little guys will do just fine, because I think we'll continue having regulation. The single operator, even 10 operator businesses, I think will still do pretty well. Now let's talk about we're talking about regulation. Let's talk about American Robotics, because that's another company that has never really been too much in the spotlight, but they also let go, I think, either 60 or 70% of their workforce. Yep. Sadly, I happened to find out that two of my former students were in the list of people that were let go. I also had several students, former Embry-Riddle students, that were let go from Amazon as well. They were a company that made a drone in a box, right? And I wonder what happened there, but I'm probably going to take a wild guess that the regulation, again, is something that's put a big dent in their plan, because this is an autonomous drone, right? Drone in a box, autonomous drone that comes back and recharges itself. There's no pathway other than waivers in order to make that happen. So what are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. And even if they can make it happen, so can DJI, so can Skydio, so can Autel. So you have competition as well. So I agree. The legislation and the regulation is not in their favor at all. And if that were to change, then you have all these other companies that can do exactly what they do. And to be honest, probably better. So I think that's a tough one too.
It's a tough
starting this show this week on such a positive note, right?
I know. I hate being the negative Nelly or being pessimistic. I'm a very optimistic person in general, but I think for some of these large companies. So I've been thinking about this for a while, and I've been talking to the team about this. I think what we're going to see this year and possibly even next year, depending on how long this this slowdown of the economy lasts, we're going to see a consolidation of the industry. We're going to see the bigger companies possibly getting bigger, right? And the smaller companies that are right at the edge, that were at the edge of the margins when the economy was doing good, they're likely not going to make it, you know, past, unless they're able to group with somebody else and become a bigger conglomerate. So that's my prediction. I hate it, but that's my prediction.
But I think the economy, of course, plays a big role. But I think also what's happening here is that you have this new industry, right? It's drones. Like, they've been around now for a little more than 10 years. But really, like, drones taking off has been less than 10 years, probably. You have all these different companies and different people trying to figure out where the value is with drones. So we're trying out all these different use cases, if you will, which is great. However, not all of them are going to work. So some things make a lot more sense than other things. So, for instance, inspecting cell towers with a drone makes a lot of sense. It's safer. You don't have to get people up in those towers. It's much faster. So there's a real economic benefit right there, the cost savings, and just a safer environment. If you compare that to Amazon's and Walmart's model, again, they're trying that stuff out as well, shipping products by drone, but it doesn't make as much sense. And there's not as much of an upside potential, probably. So I think regardless of the economy or the state of the economy, certain drone cases where you save lives or you save time and you save money, they make a lot of sense. And they make a lot of sense also in downtimes. So I think those use cases are probably still going to go strong, and
they're gonna continue.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see a problem there at all, to be honest. So,
it's because
they're saving money.
Yeah, it's a consolidation of the industry. It's a maturing industry, actually. Now, it might be forced in this case because of the economy, but it's a maturing of the industry, which had to happen, I think, at one stage. And like you said, you know, drones have been around for a fairly short period of time. Now, I have a funny story about this. When back in, I think it was 2008, there was a boom in the general aviation side with light mm-hmm. sport aircraft, very much lighter aircraft.
Yep.
Cost of flight training was starting to go through the roof, and it still is. And then the FAA decided that there's going to be this new category of aircraft called light sport, much lighter, smaller engines that could actually use car gas, instead of using aviation yep. low lead fuel, which was a lot more affordable. So there was a boom. I remember going to Oshkosh, and I think it was 2008 or 2006. There was a boom. There was about 100 light sport manufacturers at the field. You could go every corner. They had actually created an entire section of Oshkosh, which is the largest mm-hmm. Air show yeah, in the aviation. World for general aviation. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you go the next year and there is 20 of them left. And then the following year, there's 10 of them left.
Yeah.
And so the boom, what that everybody thought was going to happen, never happened for a variety of reasons. But then obviously yep. 2008 was also not a good year for economy and stuff hit the fan, right? So all of a sudden, you have a consolidation of the market. And then even the yep. larger players like Cessna had gone away from doing this. They had created the Skycatcher, and then that eventually went away. But I think we're kind mm-hmm. of there with the drone industry right now. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this in a year, in 2 years, and how it's consolidated.
Well, I mean, when the drone industry started to take off, let's say from 2010 onwards, we still had a very low interest rate environment, right? Coming out of the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009. Those Yep. low interest rates have stuck around for basically the next decade. So you have a new Yep. industry, the drone industry, that's booming. Everybody's trying out different stuff. And you have not free, but very cheap money to invest in all those ideas. And the Yep. same is true for those big companies. So it's the expenses of trying out a new concept with a drone are relatively low, I guess, in that environment. So you can try out all these different things. Now with the interest rates shooting up and all those companies reorganizing and laying off people, you put pressure on those concepts and you find out that a lot of them don't make any economic sense. And
yep.
they got canceled. Yep.
And round two of funding for those companies that got round one is going to be near impossible now unless they're that company that stands out, and that's where the investors are going to put the money in. So I think we'll see more companies disappear that got a round one but never got a round two because it was inviable. So I want to talk about something that Billy Kyle mentioned in a recent video, because it's funny, I hadn't talked to him about it. But I was kind of thinking the same thing. So I want to bring up that topic. But he had a video where he talks about the lack of innovation on the consumer side of things. And I think he's spot on, first off. And I want to bring that up again. You know, DJI released 8 new models last year. Granted, a lot of them were the Mavic 3 variant, but still. And then if you look at Autel, they actually didn't release anything new in 2022. Let's say you want to talk about the two other big ones, which are still a tiny, tiny little portion of the market, but you've got Parrot and Skydio, no new drones. This year, Autel starts with a bang with their Max drone, which is cool. The cool platform actually has right. some innovation in it. What do you think? Let's do a little prediction here. What do you think is going to happen with the consumer this year, other than DJI, or maybe even DJI? What do you think is in the pipeline?
Did you go to CES this year?
I did not.
Did
not, because
did I go?
No, you didn't. And actually, Ken went. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but Ken went and he told me, he said, this is the last year I'm going, because there was only one company. There was only one company, which was Autel.
So going back to Billy's video, Billy Kyle said, is the consumer drone market dying? And he went to CES and basically ended up filming all the electric vehicles, because there was a lot more going on there than mm-hmm. there was in the drone industry. The only company that was present was Autel Robotics, and the only new drone they launched was the Max 4T, which is a enterprise drone, not a consumer drone. And CES 23, of course, is it's like the consumer electronics show. Like, if you have new stuff, that's where you would show it. I was there before COVID hit, and even then there weren't that many drone companies. I mean, DJI was there, Autel was there, there were some other companies, that the one with the X-shaped drone was there, and there was another one with, I forgot that name, V-copter, I think, the drone with only V-copter. Two props, the one that had, like, those two arms sticking up.
Yep.
Never heard from them again either. But when you think about it, is the consumer drone market dying? Well, if you look at the drones that are currently out there, like, it's hard to compete with DJI, right? I mean, for consumers, when they use drones and they record footage or they shoot aerial photos, where does that material end up? It typically ends up on social media. So it's going to end up on Facebook. It's going to end up on TikTok, YouTube, maybe Twitter. And people are going to consume most of that on their smartphones. So do people really need 4K video? Do they need 6K? Do they need 8K? Do they need all that high-end quality in consumer drones? Probably not. So if you can get a DJI Mini 3 or make it a Mini 3 Pro, for most people, you're probably good enough already with that offering. Mm-hmm. And I think the only one that's really still competing to an extent is Autel. From Skydio and from Parrot, we know that they're not focusing on the consumer market anymore. Parrot has said so themselves. Skydio still came out with the Skydio 2 Plus, which is like a little better, but basically the same camera as the original Skydio 2. They've changed their focus, and they're focusing on the enterprise market now as well. What else do we have? Unique. Haven't seen anything new from them either.
We saw one drone at, but that's also kind of I would call it a prosumer or even professional level drone. They haven't released anything that's a Mavic level, that's a Mini level, and that's tough. That's a tough thing, right?
If you look at the consumer market for drones, like, either you're going to want a budget drone. Let's say you want to buy a drone for Christmas for your nephew, like a scenario like that. You can probably get like either a used drone, or you buy one of those Mini 2s that you can probably still find, or maybe you buy a Mini 3, a little more expensive. Mm-hmm. Those drones are pretty awesome. If you need something better than that, you would get a Mavic 3 Classic, right? You step up, I think, the price gap would be about $1,000. Then you get a prosumer drone. I don't even know if there's still a business case for a Air 3 or an Air 2 or an Air 2S, because the Mini 3 Pro is so good that I don't even know if there's a business case for the Air 2S anymore. But so then you would step up to the Mavic 3, and from there on, where would you go? You go to an Inspire, but you can see, like, even DJI, the Inspire 3 that we're all waiting for may come out this year. Who knows? It's been years since the Inspire 2.
It's been a lot of years since the Inspire 2.
Yeah. Why? Because that market is so small.
Yeah. I think you're right with the Air series, by the way. I think DJI closed that door. I think the Mini Pro and the Mini, that's where the Mini Pro is the new Air, I think.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep doing this. Now, obviously, DJI invested a ton in making the Mavic 3 the new Phantom, because now you have all these payloads that are, for that aircraft. I don't think that we'll see a replacement for the Mavic 3. I think they're going to milk that for the next year. I think before we see a Mavic 4, it's going to be a while. But I may be wrong, because, DJI is known for releasing these things like hotcakes. But Mini, I don't know. I don't know. Are they going to come up with a Mini 4 this year? It's like, where do they go from here?
How much better do those drones need to get, right? I think that's the question, basically. And you can come up with better obstacle avoidance, like Skydio. Okay, that's awesome, that's cool, but not entirely necessary. You can get better transmission range and signal. Well, we already have that, and you're not allowed to fly that far anyway, so the drones are already doing more than what you're allowed to. Higher resolution footage, I don't know. I mean, most people have an issue editing 4K video footage on their computers anyway. And again, you go back to, Yeah, or viewing it, because where do most people consume their media? It's on their smartphones, so you're not even using 4K all the time. So the only area where you can make drones better is basically making them cheaper. Like, that will be a benefit, right? If you can get a Mavic 3 Classic for $600, that will be an improvement in a way. But that's not a technical improvement. That's just getting the same offering for less money. I think if you really want to get a better drone, you're going to probably look for a very fast zoom lens or interchangeable lenses where you have, let's say, a 24, 35, 50 mil lens, and you can shoot a very low light. Then you're getting into the Inspired territory.
Yeah.
Most people don't need that. And the people who do need that, they already have those kind of drones, because you can get custom built drones. You can go to free fly systems. You can get even Sony is in that market now. So there's already options there. So I think
camera,
for DJI.
Yeah, cinema camera type of thing. Well, I think that what we'll see DJI go probably this year is the Inspire 3. You know, they had the Ronin 4D, which is a beautiful piece of gear. Mm-hmm. I think the Ronin, I'm sorry, too many names. In Inspire 3 becomes a Ronin 4D with wings. I mean, that's my prediction. Obviously,
that's
they have
the
X9 camera on that thing, which is beautiful. You put that on the flying on the flying Ronin 4D, and then you've got the entire ecosystem. Right? DJI is really good at building an ecosystem. DJI is the Apple of the drone space, where they're going to get you in and then keep you in. They have the gimbals, and obviously they have the X9. So make it fly. That's I think what we're going to see.
But I think the problem that you run in there is that the people that actually want those kind of drones. So now we're talking, let's say, about film producers, documentary producers, companies like Netflix. Their budgets are so large, they might as well get their own quadcopter, their FPV-style drone, and put real cinema cameras on it. Right?
Yes, but... So, yes, but... I think...
Where does...
Yeah. I think... the advantage... Having built a drone here ourselves... that's difficult, or even getting like a much larger drone. The advantage of DJI is that they've got all the tech and they make it simple. And I think there's still a space between a Mavic 3 Cine and an Alta X. I think there is a space there for the Inspire, because not everybody is on Hollywood with movie sets and large cameras. Think about Sparky is the perfect example, right? Sparky is extremely extremely successful cinematographer. If you guys don't know him, look up his website. He's his footage is just amazing. But he's the perfect candidate for an Inspire 3, because probably doesn't need to have an Alta, but can get extremely well, great quality with a smaller team and a smaller budget. But he can't get that from a Cine, I think. So that's
agree.
Your market.
I think. Yeah. So the question is, how many Sparkies are out there compared to how many people are out there that fly minis?
Well, so here's the ticker though. DJI is really good at making you buy, just like Apple. They're really good at making you buy the next thing, even if you don't need it. So how many people right now have a Mavic 3 Cine and they're like, holy smokes, this would be really cool to have this Inspire. Just the coolness factor. Apple does that. Actually, MKBHD made a really cool video about the iPad pricing and how the iPad is priced just high enough on the next thing. You look at it and you say, this is the base iPad. It's probably good enough for me. But no, I can add another $200 here and get this. And then when you get to the $200 more expensive one, you're like, I can get another $100 and get... And you know, you were going to spend this much and all of a sudden you double your price because the coolness factor of things that you probably don't need but might need. Yep. That's what DJI does with that.
I think actually DJI does it even better almost than Apple. I mean, Apple is really smart in how they stagger their pricing. If you want to upgrade your memory, your processor, you have to pay extra. And they do that in a very attractive way. So you always end up buying something more expensive. I think DJI even takes it a step further because they introduced the DJI Mavic 3 Cine And that's the only version basically you can, oh, you have the standard, but whatever, that's the version you can get. And then a year later, they come out with the same drone for significantly less with pretty much all the same features. And they've done that with the Mini series as well. They've done that now with the Mavic series, where initially they cater to the people that really want that drone and are willing to spend more, or the ones that really need that drone. And that's a significant market, I think, still. And then a year later, they come out with a budget version and everybody's like, well, had I known that, I might have waited. So they feel screwed, basically.
Yep. And that's also the Tesla approach, right? If you look at Tesla, they did kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But is it also because they're testing the tech and they're giving you all the bells and whistle, and then people are like, well, I can't afford that. So now all of a sudden they're like, well, we'll give you this with a little bit less functionality. So I don't know if I would feel screwed or if I would feel like now they're really trying to make it available to more people because they saw that platform was, I think about it this way. If they had released the Mini, just the regular Mini 3 without the Pro, people would have been like, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And then they buy this and all of a sudden DJI comes up with a more expensive version. You might also feel like, well, shit, I wish I had waited and gotten the one with more stuff.
I hear what you're saying. I think if that were true, I think if that was true, they would have done that.
Well, I'm sure this was planned years ahead. They knew exactly what they were doing. The strategy that they're using is working, so they're going to continue doing that. So that's a word for those that are still listening. Yes, if you're still listening, next drone that comes
DJI
out, don't buy it just
smart.
Yet.
No, if you want to save money, you probably should wait a year. But they're super smart, right? I mean, they only at some point they even didn't ship to companies like Amazon and B&H, for instance, when new drones came out, or they ship them in very limited quantities so that. If a new drone hits the market, like the Mavic 3, most people who want it right away, when the hype is at its highest and the excitement is intense, most people who want it, they're going to end up having to buy it directly from DJI online. So DJI pockets the most margin that way, right? They don't have to share with Amazon. They don't have to share anything with B&H. It comes directly to DJI. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of hyping it is that you get so many people so excited that they are going to spend the extra money to get the drone right away. If you then, a year later, come out with a budget version of the same drone, you cater to a whole different group of people, basically. You cater to the people that aren't so excitable and that wouldn't have bought the drone anyway, but now they will because now it's so much less expensive. So I think they're just maximizing profits and they're super smart in how they do it.
Oh, yeah. It's smart. Now, I want to talk about a different topic because... it related. Autel strategy of releasing drones. And hopefully somebody at Autel is listening. I love the guys at Autel. Talk to them at every trade show. We've had John on the show many times. He probably agrees with this as well. Why is Autel still announcing drones that they can't ship? It drives me insane. Every time they do it, we don't see other people doing this. We don't see DJI doing this. We don't see Apple doing this. Actually, we see Tesla doing this where Elon goes on and talks about the Cybertruck and then 5 years later, it's still not here, but that's a different story. He's a different animal. But why do you think that is? Why do you think they're releasing this and now they're saying it's not going to be available for another couple months? And then the fad is going to be gone. They've done this for the last two or three releases, and I wish they wouldn't, because I think it gets people really frustrated that they can't get the thing. And then by the time it comes out, it's almost too late.
I think you hit the nail on its head. I think they're hanging on for dear life. And if they don't come up with these promises, they become irrelevant, right? So they probably know that they're going to have a hard time to deliver on their promise. But if they don't put something out there, then... they become irrelevant and they don't even matter. So I think they're hanging on and they're coming up with new products.
And CES was a good place to release it. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. If you're going to do an enterprise drone, I don't think you need to be at CES. But I mean, if you look at the Nano and the Lite and the Evo series, they've always been behind. Then they try to outperform DJI when it comes to specs. So now you get higher resolution or longer flight time. I flew the Evo 2. It flew very differently because the battery was so heavy and so large to get the extra flight time to beat DJI, basically, that it severely impacted the way the drone flew. I almost crashed it once when I came flying back towards me with the wind in the back. So the drone was actually going pretty fast. I wanted to put the brakes on. I almost flew into a building because it didn't stop as fast as I was expecting it to stop. So I think they're always trying to beat DJI on specs on paper, but then to actually deliver in real life and to also be able to ship those drones is a challenge. And I think what might make it even harder for Autel is that the drone industry or the drone business is not their core business, right? They got all this other stuff going on. So they might lack the same focus that DJI has, where it's basically all about the drones. And then they have some side things with the LifeVox and whatnot, but it's about the drones basically. And I'm not that optimistic about Autel's prospect in that sense, because I think they're the eternal number two. They're just playing catch up all the time.
Yeah. I wish they would have the ability to create the hype and continue the hype. And I think if they change their marketing strategy a little bit, and it's easy for me to say because I don't know what happens in the back end, but if they had the ability to just have that drone released when the drone is ready to ship, they would gain so much more traction by doing this. So again, I think it's easy to say from the chair here. But let's talk about this new drone, the Max. I mean, I'm pretty excited about this. I think it's cool to see them building something that's in a class of its own in a way, right? We've seen the people have been comparing it to the Matrice 30 and the Mavic 3 kind of in between the two. It's a big Mavic 3. It's a small Matrice 30, but still has kind of the same payload capabilities. It actually has an 8K camera, which I was really impressed. It also has like the hot swappable batteries with only one battery. I thought that was really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, they're listening. That's what I kind of like about Autel, is that they're also listening to the users that told them, hey, we need a hot swappable battery because on the field, this is what we do. We don't want to turn off the drone and start it again. And then they have this mesh network. You want to talk about this mesh network thing? I think that's also pretty cool.
Yeah, and no geofencing, right? That's especially among first responders. That's always something that people appreciate. So I think, and it wouldn't surprise me if we see that from Autel, if they shift their focus to the enterprise market, just like Parrot has done, like Skydio has done. It's much harder, I think, to compete in the consumer drone market than it is to compete in the enterprise market. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if we see Autel shift its focus to that market as well.
Yep, I agree.
Have you had the Max? Have you seen the Max 4T, or have you had a chance to fly it yet, or no?
No, because I think the only place it was available was CES. But I'm going to a show in Texas in March, I think, and John is going to be there, and he said he's going to bring one. Hopefully, bring one. So I'm sure we'll be able to fly it there. I know Ken. I don't know if Ken flew it. He told me he was going to, but I don't know if he was able to because I haven't seen a video on that. Be interesting to see.
I've seen him hold one of those drones at CES. I don't know if he had the chance to fly one. But then the question also becomes if they can deliver, right? I mean, if a lot of first responders and enterprise customers start ordering these drones, is Autel able to ship them quickly? Because if it takes 6 months, then you're kind of back at square one again.
Then and it's priced correctly. So, you know, I know people said it's expensive. I think it's $8,000, but I mean, I think we just paid $6,000 or $7,000 for the Mavic 2 thermal that we have here in the office. So it's not priced that much higher. It's got good specs. It's got good flight time. It's a good drone on paper. It's a really good drone. Now the strategy, like you said, of shipping it and delivering is going to be, well, we'll see if they're able to deliver that.
I think in the enterprise markets, the mechanics are different, right? I mean, if you look at the consumer market, a lot of it is about price. You have to be able to deliver the best product for the lowest possible price. I think if you look at the enterprise market, where you have all these new use cases for drones, you're saving so much money, because a lot of the inspections used to take either helicopters, airplanes, or people climbing up cell towers and transmission towers. So those expenses were much higher. On top of that, you have the additional risk that's involved when you involve people in those scenarios. So I don't know for most enterprise customers if it matters if that drone is going to be 10,000, 8,000, or 12,000. If you're saving 100,000, are you making an environment so much safer and therefore have a lot less risk of injury or death or whatever, then those 8,000 bucks are probably irrelevant to them. And I think that's what you see in the enterprise market. That's, of course, you want to be able to get them at a reasonable price. But if the cost savings are so significant, then these drones are cheap probably for them, for like Shell Oil or BP or AT&T.
Well, and it's an ecosystem as well. If they've used Autel drones in the past, maybe an Evo 2 Dual or Evo 2 Thermal, then it would make sense for them to switch to another Autel drone, because now they have the ecosystem, their pilots are trained on how to use it. So that's where I would see that as a smart move, you know, going in.
What I think is different though is the world of first responders, right? If you look at local fire departments, police departments, search and rescue teams, like for those people, I think price makes a big difference, because a lot of times they have very limited budgets. Using a drone instead of having to hire a helicopter pilot and a helicopter, the drone is still a significant cost savings. But what I've known from talking to a lot of first responders, especially search and rescue, is there's a lot of volunteers involved. The budgets are typically very limited. So in those cases, to buy a drone with a thermal camera that's inexpensive means that now you can buy more drones and we can help and save more people's lives. So I think that market is different from, let's say, the big corporations like AT&T, Shell Oil, and what have you.
Yep, I agree. I want to talk about one more topic. I know we're getting close on an hour here. The political environment for DJI and what maybe... Where does this go now? Because, you know, we looked at it. I looked at it. I'm pretty apolitical as a person in general, but I looked at it from the previous president, and then maybe we thought the new president was going to be a bit more lenient on China. It didn't really happen technically, if you look at things. And again, I'm not being political. I'm just being factual. There hasn't been any change in how DJI has been attacked over the years. How does that change in 2023? And especially as things heat up in the rest of the world, in Ukraine, and their possible involvement there too. And how does that play for DJI? It's a crystal ball. Nobody knows. But what do you think?
I think the best thing that's happened to DJI is TikTok coming onto the scene. Because I think a lot of the attention that DJI used to get is now shifted towards TikTok. And I think TikTok is probably, I mean, first it was Huawei, but Huawei, the US government kind of dealt with, right? I mean, they kind of pushed them away. Then the focus shifted to DJI. And now I think the focus is on TikTok, which is far, far bigger. I think TikTok even dethroned Google as the number one website that people visit. So that's the size of TikTok. It's insane. So I think when it comes to geopolitical tension, so the US versus China, I think TikTok is probably the place that the hotspot right now. I don't think the focus has shifted away from DJI. I think DJI is still dealing with it. I mean, they're still on the entity list. That hurts their reputation. They're excluded from certain trade shows. So it hasn't gotten any easier. I think we were all hoping with the new president that might change, but I think it's no priority for Biden, right? So those policies that were put in place, they just kind of stay. And I think the other problem that DJI might face is that pretty much all their original American employees have left, basically. So Adam Lisberg, Brendan Schulman, Mario Rebello, I mean, Romeo Dersher, like all the people that helped and built DJI in the US in the last, 5+ years, 10 years, maybe even for some folks. I think all of them are gone at this point. So I think that's also a big challenge.
Yeah. How do they get a visibility in the US, or is you know, how big is the US market for DJI? It's got to be a chunk. I'm not sure it's the biggest for them, but it's got to be a chunk that they don't want to abandon. But then at one point, you know, when do they say enough is enough? And then they pull out and then we're all in deep trouble. So I think it's going to be interesting. Like you said, TikTok is definitely on the radar right now of the regulators and probably for different reasons. You know, I still like personally the idea of having a strong U.S. manufacturer. I just can't put my finger on who that's going to be to replace them. Yeah, you know, it sounds good on paper to do that, but who is it going to be that's going to dethrone DJI by competing with the quality of a product?
Fairly.
Not by competing in court, right? And so... How do we win? How does the industry and the people that fly drones win, not the company that's been spending money?
Yeah, I think people flying drones win when you have the most capable drones, the best possible drones you can get at any point in time for the lowest possible price, right? I mean, that opens the door for more people being able to use drones, and then we can try out new things, save more lives, have all these efficiencies and create safer work environments. So having the best drones at the lowest price in large capacity, so not like Autel where they cannot ship, but actually where you can actually buy these drones, I think that's important. But for a US manufacturer to step in and to be able to do that would not be easy at all. I think with the Blue SUAS program, they kind of created this different market with boundaries where DJI cannot really enter. So there's limited competition there, which in a way you might say, oh, that's good because it gives American manufacturers a chance to kind of get their foot in the door and build their company in the drone market. Skydio is probably the biggest company doing that right now. Whether that's fair competition, yes or no, I think that's a whole different debate. But I don't really see any drone company who can come out of that environment and then compete fairly with DJI. I think we're still quite far away from that. I mean, Skydio probably has the best cards in its hands to do it, but they shifted their attention to the enterprise world. So yeah, I don't know if we're going to get a Skydio 3 for consumers.
No, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you said... I personally don't have a problem with having a Blue UAS program that helps American companies build drones for the military, because that's important, right? That we keep the whole ecosystem in the country, and that we use those funds in order to create a strong competitors for the consumer market. But like you said, the problem is that these contracts on the Blue side, they're small. They're not going to help a Skydio or anybody else ramp up their production because it's too small of a number. Max from Autel was on a show recently, Drones After Dark, with Bobby from Skybras and Jeff from Skybras, and he was talking about how difficult it is to build a drone in volume, in high volume. And like you said, you know, Skydio, if they wanted to compete, could they even compete with building that many drones at scale? Even if they had a good product, aka like a good camera, right? That's always the thing that annoys me about it. There's no good camera that makes me want to buy that drone. All the foo-foo stuff on the side, like following you is cool, but it doesn't really, that's not what the majority of people want, I think. But anyway, it's a side note. But even if they had that good camera, would they have the ability to produce that, to mass produce that drone in order to compete? Even if it's a little bit more expensive, fine, I'll buy American and more expensive, but I don't know that they can do
it. I mean, no, well, they tried with the Skydio 2 and they couldn't, right? I mean, people ordered that drone and had to wait for almost a year and sometimes even longer to actually get that drone delivered. So they made, I think it was like $100 prepayment or down payment, whatever you want to call it, and to reserve your spot in line. And then you still had to wait for a year. Yeah. Like that's not the consumer world. People want to, the new drone comes out, Mavic 3 comes out. People want to be able to go to Best Buy, where you could probably buy it the day before the launch already. But anyway, or order it online immediately and expect it to be delivered in a matter of days. Like that's the consumer market. If you deliver that drone a year later and you're competing with DJI, then DJI's probably moved on by then. There's like, there's a newer drone, a better drone, bigger camera, bigger sensor, lower price, whatever. Like it's too late. And I think that's the challenge. And then we haven't even spoken about the ship shortage. We haven't even spoken about COVID, like all that other stuff that makes it a more challenging environment. But for a US company to ship a good product at a low price in high volume, it's not easy.
No,
it's not.
I don't know the answer, quite frankly. I don't. So, I think the gap is going to keep on building, unfortunately. And it'll be an interesting year. I think we should have this conversation again in a year and see, replay some of the clips that we
see where we are,
and see where we are. I hope we didn't. I hope we didn't put too much of a dark cloud on people that are listening. I think there's still a ton of positive in this industry for this year, and a lot of bright coming up. So it's not all doom and gloom. We did talk about some pretty negative stuff, but I think it's realistic. People have to understand what's happening, I think.
Yeah, and to end it on a positive note, I think if you're into drones, let's say you haven't flown a drone yet, but you want to get into the hobby, time has never been better than now, because the drones are pretty amazing and the prices are very low, so you can get a pretty awesome drone for not that much money. If you're looking to get into the drone business from a professional point of view, I think you have plenty of options as well. So I think there's a pretty bright future for those people as well. I'm talking about people that do photography, real estate photography, inspections, of wind turbines and solar panels and roof inspections and whatnot. So I think in general, there's still a very positive future or a bright future ahead of us. But I think what we've seen is that after the first 10 years and this rapid expansion and very cheap money, kind of everything blows up, and now it's coming down a little bit from that high. But it will, I mean, some of those use cases for drones are not going to go away. If anything, it's going to keep growing, and I think we'll come out stronger for sure.
Yep, consolidated. I think that's the word. We'll come out consolidated out of all of this. And like you said, I think there's still a lot of bright spots and a ton of opportunities every single day of different companies using drones for different things. And new tech around the corner. Yep. It may not be American tech, but I think we'll have some cool surprises from other stuff. All right, should we end it with this?
Yeah. If anybody's listening to this show from Zipline, please come on to the show. I think you guys are a bright star, and we would love to have you on the show and talk about how Zipline business case makes a lot of sense and how you guys are using drones. So I'm eager to get them on the show and talk about what they're doing and what they're about to be doing in the United States.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, it was good talking to you again, my friend, on camera. I know we've been chatting on the side, and I look forward to more episodes for 2023.
Yeah, for sure. A pleasure, as always.
All right. Talk to you later.